Winston City Council, December 5th, 2022, 7 o'clock p.m.
I'd rather be shot than burned alive.
I got 7 seconds. Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Perfect. Roll call. Let's find out who is here tonight. Councilor Cunningham.
Here.
Councilor White.
Here.
Councilor Sullivan.
Here.
Councilor Hobson.
Here.
And I'm here, so that makes a full house. Adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Bauer?
We have one, Your Honor. Under new business, the franchise agreement ordinance with Douglas Fastnet. Please pull that from consideration for tonight.
Thank you very much. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, for all of you here, I'm going to make an announcement. If you're here to discuss the RV park denial, we're not going to talk about it. We can't. It's not been forwarded to us yet from the Planning Commission, so we can't even talk about it. Rob, I'm not accusing. I'm just asking, just letting you know that we can't have that discussion. Okay, we have a public hearing now. Okay, this is a consent to annex planning file number 22-W006, public hearing process. The Mississippi City Council will hear one public hearing tonight. The public hearing is in regards to a request for annexation inside the corporate limits of the City of Winston, planning department file number 22-W006. To ensure that these proceedings are conducted in a fair and orderly manner, state law has established rules and procedures governing the conduct of land use hearings. I will now explain the procedures we will follow. This hearing will be conducted in the following order of events. We will first establish for the record the parties that are entitled to party status. Party status is important because it determines who is entitled to participate in the hearing and who has the right to appeal City Council's decision. People eligible for party status include the applicant, the property owner of the subject property, owners of property within 150 feet of the subject property, or any other person who can demonstrate that they will be specially, personally, adversely, or substantially affected by the results of the hearing. We will next establish for the record that all members of the council are able to participate in the hearing in a fair and objective manner. The council will then hear the written staff report. After that, the applicant's testimony will be heard first, followed by testimony from parties in favor of the application. The council will then hear from those parties who wish to speak in opposition to the application. After all testimony has been given, the applicant will be given an opportunity to respond to the testimony of the opposition. Testimony instructions. I want to stress that all testimony, including rebuttal, will be directed to City Council. Direct exchanges between opposing parties will not be allowed during the hearing. Questions may be asked at any time by members of the council. Questions by parties or city manager may be allowed by the president upon request. Testimony, arguments, and evidence given must be based on fact and directed toward the applicable criteria in the comprehensive plan and the Winston Municipal Code, which the person believes to apply to the decision. All evidence offered may be received. Testimonies and evidence given in this hearing should be of the quality and reasonable persons rely upon for conduct of everyday affairs. Any evidence received shall become part of the record of the hearing. Failure to raise an issue in the hearing, either in person or in writing, will sufficiently, with sufficient specificity, to afford the approving authority, and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, precludes appeal to LUBA based on that issue. I didn't choose to do this, okay? His fault. Pursuant to ORS 197-796, the failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to the proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designatee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in the court. After all testimony has been heard, the council will have an opportunity to ask questions of the parties. The hearing will then be closed and discussion limited to members of the council and staff. Does everyone understand the hearing procedures as I have described them? Very good, thank you. Please note that these hearings are being tape recorded. This is to provide a full record of the hearing, so it is important that only one person speak at a time and only after being recognized. After you have been recognized, please begin by clearly stating your name and residence address for the record.
Now we get to the good part.
I will now open the hearing for the request of annexation inside the corporate limits, Planning Department File 22W006. We will now establish for the record those persons who have party status in this hearing. For the record, I will note that the applicant and the city each have party status. Is there anyone present who is an affected agency or owns property within 150 feet of the subject property who wants party status? Seeing none. Is there anyone who may be specifically, personally, adversely, substantially affected by the outcome of this proceeding who believes they are entitled to party status? Okay. Has staff received any written request for party status?
We have not, Your Honor.
Ex parte conflict or disclosures. This council is concerned that this hearing be fair to all parties, both in substance and in appearance. Therefore, it is important that we establish for the record that all members of the council are able to hear and decide this request in a fair and objective manner. Do any members of council have a financial interest in this property, which is the subject of this hearing?
No.
Seeing none, do any members stand to gain or lose any financial benefit as a result of the outcome of this hearing?
No.
Have any members discussed this matter with the appellant or any other interested party prior to the start of the hearing?
No.
Have any council members met as a group to discuss this matter prior to the start of this hearing?
No.
Do any members wish to disclose any facts which might create the appearance that they have a conflict of interest or otherwise unable to participate in this hearing in a fair and objective manner?
No.
Does any party have an objection to any of the city council participating in this hearing? Other than the guy reading? No. Now that the council has been qualified, we will proceed with the hearing. Staff report. Will staff please present the written staff report?
Thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. We have staff exhibits 1-6 that are in the record. I will pass these out to you. These are 1-6 notice of the public hearing of both public hearings at the Planning Commission level and City Council. Number 2, property owners within 150 feet. There's a map that shows the proximity. Number 3, the staff report at the Planning Commission level and here, which you have in electronic form as well. Number 4, a copy of the consent to annex signed documentation. Number 5, a vicinity map. Number 6, a assessor's plat map. I'll pass those out for your viewing. The staff report with all the information was sent prior to the hearing in sufficient time, so I will go through this fairly quickly. The property owners, Ronald and Sheila Bly, live on Winston Section Road on a 0.5 acre piece, currently zoned residential low density. Because of a failed septic system from a 1948 single-family dwelling, there was a request to hook into our sanitary sewer main line on Winston Section. In lieu of that request, the property owner signed a consent to annex under ORS 222.125. The notice of the public hearing before City Council tonight was given in accordance with Section 154.80 of the Municipal Code and was sent out November 16, 2022. A legal notice was also provided to the News Review as per the statutory requirement. November 16, 2022 was published November 22, 2022. The subject property has access and all amenities off, directly off Winston Section Road. The plan designation, 3.3 dwelling units per acre, and the zoning designation, residential low density. There are no traffic conflicts as of now, and the provision falls wholly and entirely under the review of a quasi-judicial matter. This, go ahead.
May I ask you a question, please? Is this one of the island annexation properties?
It's not.
Okay, thank you.
No, this is an independent consent to annex, which falls under a different code criteria. There were the three that we talked about. Island would be one, consent to annex, which means the property owner's agreeing, and the third one would be a vote by specific territory of the city.
Thank you.
So this, the criteria for this falls wholly entirely under ORS 222.111 and 125 under the petition or the full consent to annex. The subject property, we'd like to note for the record, is wholly and completely entirely located within the urban growth boundary and is concurrent to the city limit line to the northeast. The Winston City Council, under the authority of the ORS, need not call or hold an election or hold a hearing otherwise required under that ORS. You can pass by ordinance or resolution and declare the property annexed. So with that, that concludes my staff report. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions, Commissioner McIntosh? You guys thought we did really exciting stuff at these meetings, right?
So I have one question. Who is responsible for extending the sewer line, the private sewer line, to the sewer, our, to the city sewer line, from their property to the city sewer?
Sure. Yeah, it was their responsibility to hook in at the connection level with the lateral to their house, which that falls under the private property.
There's a line right there on Winston Section
there
Road,
is.
Correct?
So
they're
yeah.
just okay.
An 8-inch main line, a gravity line that was existing.
So they don't have very far to go with their...
Just a lateral from the
lateral. Yeah.
They have already punched in an emergency capacity because of their failing system. So the physical work has been done.
Okay. Does the applicant wish to present testimony? Are there any parties who wish to speak in favor of the application?
Mr. Mayor, we have no qualified parties. So you can move the final
okay,
question.
Okay, so any final questions from council? I'm going to move to close the hearing. Mr. McIntosh, where do we go from here? You have to make a motion to approve?
No, there is an ordinance that would execute later on the agenda,
Thank you.
Which merits a first reading.
Thank you. Okay, consent agenda. Approval of council minutes for September 19th, the workshop, September 19th, the meeting, October 10th, and November 7th. And acceptance of minutes for the park. Okay, we'll just do those first. The council minutes. I need a motion, please.
I'll move to accept the approval of council minutes.
Have a motion seeking a second.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Both same sign. Thank you. Acceptance of minutes from the Park Board, October of 22, Economic Development, September of 22, and Economic Development, November of 22. Seeking a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve.
Have a motion for a second?
I'll second it.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Both same sign. Thank you very much. Motion carries. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered in this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The Council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to approach the dais and speak? Seeing none. Reports. boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Ms. Sullivan, the Park Board liaison, please.
Yes, so this is our November 8th meeting. We had a guest, Amy Hunter from Wake Up, and she let us know that they actually had some funding to help us with the pavilion project, so that is likely going to be fully covered, which was a great thing. There will be some meetings with Riverbend Live and the Mellon Festival Association about contracts that need to be figured out. And then we will be skipping our December meeting.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Sullivan? Okay, economic development. Mr. McIntosh, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So economic development did not have a forum this previous month. We did not have a majority that came out, but we did briefly discuss some of the ongoing projects that are taking place in the city. Did all of council see the DSL wetland report that was sent on Friday? That was one of the items that we discussed. One of the big indicators of projects moving forward is if we start seeing approved permits at the state level. So for the 74-acre piece would be located in the southeast corner of Brockway and 42. This is the project that the property owner and the developer have been contemplating to do 160 apartment units complex in two phases, 80 and then 80. So that report dictates that the site has been analyzed by a wetland delineator who's certified in the state of Oregon to, number one, figure out, are there any wetland hydraulic soils? Is there any standing water that can indicate that? And is there hydraulic type plant or wetland plant life? Those three things go into a report. They submit it to DSL, which is the Department of State Lands, who governs wetlands. So that report indicates a couple things. It allows us to put those certified wetlands into our inventory, but number two, it dictates that the project looks like it has good steam in that regard. So if anybody has any questions on that, we did briefly discuss the project at economic development. Other than that, we had a very thin agenda because of a lack of form.
Thank you both for those reports.
Yeah, I have a question for Thomas.
Please.
Okay, I looked at the map, Thomas, but I'm not sure I understand where the wetlands actually is at.
The wetlands are the green on the map. It's the green outline one with the crosshatch.
Okay, so that's close to the creek right there.
They're riddled all over. I mean, it's not. They're pretty nominal, but on the majority of them are in the north, like western area, and there's a few that are sporadic around the creek. So the project, by normal volition, would have to be split up because of that creek. So they're thinking of doing one phase to the north, and then the other would be more inclined to the south.
And they can't do any filling.
They can, but they just can't. Now that those wetlands have been certified, we know where the borders are, they can't encroach more than 50 cubic yards of fill or removal. There is a 50 cubic yard give that the code will allow you. But beyond that, they have to be, which usually means they're not going to disturb them at all. They're just going to leave them intact. And
so did we have any of those wetlands in our inventory, or was it all new?
No, it's new.
It's all new.
Yeah, we have a very old local wetland inventory, and that area was not studied. Because at the time it was done, it was not in city limits.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions for Mr. McIntosh? Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Alicia. Department reports. Police Chief Sardi. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. It was a good vacation. I got my elk, in case anyone's wondering. 205-yard shot right behind the ear, just so you know. Crew a journey for free.
That was what, your 10th or 11th shot?
I've been working close there. Okay, let me tell the story here real quick. It was my 6th shot that I got, all right?
Is it a dumb elk that didn't take off running?
He was a deaf mute.
Yeah. I had to be very careful on my shooting placement because I had cows around it. So Yeah, it's a little worried, but I got it.
So how many cows did you kill?
No cows. No cows.
Are you sure you don't need to sit back down, Chief?
I know nothing. Okay, let's the report here.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Mayor, Council, community members. So I have been working with Wayne Stenson, who is our emergency manager for the Sheriff's Office, in working on a GRMS radio system. And I kind of discussed this a little bit with council a couple months ago. Wayne has been able to get us a repeater radio system, which is a repeater system that allow us to communicate with Douglas County in the case of a natural disaster. So currently, a lot of agencies use their cell phones. Well, I will tell you that the cell phones will not work. During the UCC incident, we were trying to use cell phones. They just did not work. They were overloaded right away. So that being said, the GRMS radio is a citizen band radio, so anyone in the community can use it. My objective is to get all the departments on one page using a GRMS radio, and then having one channel that we can communicate through our incident command post to Wayne Stenson or county from here. Because if we have, say, the earthquake and there's no bridges, we can't get to county, right? So we're going to be working through him, who's going to be working through the state, through FEMA to get to us. So it's a check mark off the box for FEMA to get us that. It's going to cost us probably around $200 for an antenna. But now that we have the setup of the Galaxy for the radio system, it's a plug and play setup for us. So we'll buy the antenna. I'll have to get the Public Works to get the lift again to get the antenna up there. We'll get that set up, and then that will be assigned to us to be able to use. So
quick question. If we have that type of earthquake, it's going to be a pretty serious earthquake, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that antenna is sitting up on a tower, correct?
That's correct.
What guarantee you have that tower will not
collapse? So, well, it's a power pole. The concern I would have is not so much the power pole collapsing as the water tank above it, the million gallons of water that's going to be coming off that hill, might have some effect on that power pole, maybe. I'm sure it's going to have an effect on residences below it, but maybe it might miss the power pole. Now, it's also set up so we have a generator, which I purchased a generator for the PD this year, and that generator we can take up there and activate that system, which will
be. So you have your own generator now. I didn't realize that.
Well, we bought a little one, a little champion. Okay. Yeah. We didn't get our generator for, like, public work generator, but, yeah, so that will work to power up that unit, and that will give us our internet service and our communications between Public Works here and the police department, and then will also allow us to use the GRMS radio system.
Is there by chance the possibility of looking for a backup system to that?
That's basically our backup.
Okay.
We have our police radios that we're going to be using, but I suspect under the earthquake that our dispatch center is at the basement of the courthouse, and it will be non-existent. So we won't even have a 911 system set up until the county activates their command post and trying to get that up and running. But in the meantime, where dispatch is at right now, it's in a very, very bad location for the Cascadia event. Yeah, we just won't have a 911 center. Anyway, so I got that. We're working on that. The internet setup that we spent a lot of money on, $85,000 to get this all set up, we are basically completed. We're waiting for PP&L to install the power. Apparently, they got to put some poles up. The manager might know a little bit more about this, but I was informed that the power that goes to that unit up there is not efficient enough for it, so they're going to have to put power poles in and more power to that unit to get it up and running. Everything, we put the generator up to it, got it up and running, everything's working like a champ. So we're in good shape once PP&L gets that part taken care of. Yeah.
Any ETA on that?
We don't know. Actually, Wayne Stenson, who I talked to about that, because he wanted to get that radio stuff to me, said he had some pull at PP&L, so he's going to use his contacts to try to get it moving. So hopefully we can get that moving fairly quick. Currently we're testing out AT&T. I know the manager and maybe the mayor were at a conference where AT&T discussed options of being a little bit cheaper and using what they call FirstNet. And FirstNet is basically for first responders to access the phone system under an emergency, so if there is something, say the Cascadia event, we have priority service over everybody. So we have communication somehow. So that's, we're kind of working that piece out right now. I'm trying that with AT&T. I just shipped out some phones today. for the staff to start using them to try it out. We've got a week to try it. We're going to really put it to the test and see if it's going to be workable. We were on AT&T about 5 years ago. When I took over, I switched us to Verizon because it was a better service. Verizon is now failing, and most of the agencies are switching back over to AT&T. It's kind of a mess. It's not as easy as just throwing a phone, because we got to take all of our computers out of the cars. We got to take them to IT. There's a big process to do that, so we want to make sure it works right before we do that. So we're in the middle of that. We started the background investigation for our new officer, who's a Roseburg City officer. He has notified his agency. That's why I'm telling you now. So he is a Roseburg City officer that is very interested in coming here. So I'm pretty excited about that. He's certified. He's got about, I think, 12 years, maybe 13 years on the job. We can't pay him Roseburg City wage, but we can get him up there, and he'll be an asset to the department. He used to be a sheriff's deputy. He went to Roseburg City. He's been in a couple different, we were in a shooting together. So he's been there and been involved with some stuff. So
what's the estimated time of him coming back to work, or coming to work for us?
Well, he's on baby leave right now with Roseburg, so I allow that to take place on their dime and not ours. So I don't know if that was
so a he's a baby? Is that what you're saying?
He just had a baby.
Oh, yeah.
So
his wife did.
His wife did. Yes, his wife did. Can you say that? I don't even know if you can say that anymore. Anyways, his wife had a baby.
You just did the bike.
I know I did, but who knows? Who knows anymore? So that being said, he's on baby leave. He will we're starting his background investigation. I'm hoping by March.
Do you have any idea when we might get that squad car that's been modified for the canine? Or have we already got it?
Oh, when I was gone, yes. When I was gone, I actually wrote that in my notes down here. So the new canine, the car that was donated to us, or the money that was donated how long ago, we got the car when I was gone. There's some issues with it that I'm working out. It's nothing big. It's the stuff that they got to fix on it to make it user-friendly for us. So they're working on that, some programming stuff with the radio, some basic stuff. But it's just trying to get that all kind of lined out. So it's already marked, it's ready to go, but it's sitting on the line, not being used yet.
And do we have any new squad cars that are programmed?
That are programmed, what do you mean?
I mean that may be going out for purchase, from that subsidy that we have from the water that we buy at squad cars.
You know, exactly. We have anything we're houring out.
Currently I have a vehicle that we're looking at too. It's our black or blue vehicle. It's our old detective unit that we're going to probably transition out.
We're not scheduled, Your Honor, if I may, we're not scheduled to purchase another vehicle until next year's budget.
Right. Okay, that's the question
yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
Are we going to get other dogs since we have three dog cars?
Well, the one dog, so remember, the first dog car was donated by people I know, and they specifically told me when I purchased this next car that they wrote me a check for the $50,000 for, that they said that they want that car to be ran out. They want it finished. And I told them that I was going to transfer it into a supervisor vehicle and get it. It's already a marked unit. I'll be taking the dog stuff out of it. I'm trying to work a deal right now. I was going to bring it up, but I'm trying to work a deal right now with Coos County. They have a dog in a Dodge Charger. So my plan is to call them and say, hey, you pay for the removal of my stuff out of my car, $600 or $700, and you have that stuff installed in mine, I'll give you the canine stuff so you can have your dog. So that's in the process. It's something that we're never going to use again. So it would be beneficial to that agency.
Wait, why not? I think we need another dog. I feel pretty strongly about that.
Well, I'm not against it, but we got to remember that when we have a patrol dog, and again, I love the dogs. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I want to have a bed in my office for the dog to come in and hang out with me. He's just not that tight right now. So,
he's pretty tightly wrapped.
Yeah, I kind of like him, though. I like him better than the officer, honestly. I do. I'm going to promote him probably to corporal.
Wait a second.
But, yeah. Anyways, there's a lot of training that comes with having an officer doing a canine. Like today, my sergeant covered the road while he was at training all day. So if I have two, it's going to make it a little bit more difficult. I'm not against the idea. Reedsport has it. There's a lot of small agencies that have it. But I want to get established with their dog. I want to see how it's going, and it seems to be going really well. But I want to run with it for a little bit before we move forward. And I'm not against it. My plan with the canine car, we got the one from Roseburg that we're using currently. I'm leaving that set up as a canine car and giving it to a sergeant. So because sergeants don't take custody very often, when they do, it's one person. It'll work out perfect. He can put all of his gear in the back, and it's a backup canine car, or in the future, if we want another canine, we're not purchasing a car.
If I'm not mistaken, the new police officer is the canine qualified officer.
He actually is.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So, anyway, so starting the background on the officer, the Eugene Police Chief Chris Skinner, he is our president of the Oregon Police and Chiefs Association. He's going to meet with all the chiefs in Douglas County at Roseburg this Wednesday. We're going to be discussing some top things like Measure 114 and what that is entailing. So the last meeting I had a Zoom meeting with all the chiefs in Oregon and the sheriffs. And I'm hoping our sheriff, we're going to have a meeting locally with our sheriff, and I'm hoping he's willing to take that responsibility on the permit process. I don't know if that means that we're going to be paying some. It might be worth it. It's going to be a discussion we're going to have. But the permitting software is like 10 grand.
That so the unfunded mandate is in Measure 114.
So, and the problem is that if we don't act on it for our citizens, then in 30 days, the lawsuit will be coming from somebody to sue us, right? So this is the way it is. It's already lost. So that being said, we're trying to get through this 114 to be prepared in case it goes through. We heard that the permitting portion of it got pushed out a couple weeks today. I don't know what date that it was going to be pushed out to, but it's being moved back because OSP's not prepared for it yet. And they're basically setting the Oregon State Police up to be sued. They're going to be sued. This is coming. And they're just waiting for it to happen because they're not going to be ready. I know how they operate. It'll be months to a year out before they have the permitting software set up. We found out in the meeting that our brand new live scanner, I don't know if the sergeant talked to you guys about that when I was gone. We got the grant for the live scan. The fingerprint machine. And we are now pushing it to be all day, every day. We're doing certain days. But that's the only area that the police department makes money. So I might as well try to make as much as I can on it, right? So
never stop selling.
Right, there you go. So we're going to try to do that more often. But the problem is OSP is not set up to use the live scan, which they manage, by the way. They manage it. Okay, this is state operation. Okay, they manage it.
We
for
just
us.
Can't use it.
We can't use it. We got to go back to the hand fingerprint. So it's a mess, yeah. So I don't know what I'm going to do there.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, it's pretty crazy. So we're going to be discussing Measure 114, and he's just kind of going to go over some of the stuff that's going around the state. This year, this is another state issue, is that the state of Oregon requires police chiefs, sheriffs, and all managers to go and have a certain level of training, okay? The training is executive training level stuff, and you're required to have 80, I think it's 85 hours every 3 years. Well, they started it over because of COVID. You know what that means. So that means that we have to get the training, which is training I do every year. I'm going to modify it a little bit. So we have our executive leadership training in Seaside, which I attend every year. We haven't the last two because of COVID, so we're behind the times on this.
Seaside.
In Seaside,
wow.
Yes. Oh, yes, it's very nice. Actually, it's raining sideways. Yeah, it's not. It's not very nice. You go inside. That's where you stay. So we have that training coming up, and that's in January, the 11th through the 13th. It'll be me and one of the sergeants going to that. I don't know which one yet. And then on March the 1st through the 3rd, the Northwest Leadership Conference, which typically I send the sergeants to, and I don't go to. I'm going to evaluate where we're going to be on hours, but all three of us might need to go to that. I don't know yet. We're still. I'm going to send the sergeants no matter what. I might have to attend that. That's going to be in Portland. I don't like going there, but that's where it's going to be. And then April 4th through the 7th is the Bend Conference, the Chiefs Conference, which I will be attending.
All three of you gone at the same time?
Only on one of them, potentially, maybe. Typically, I always have a sergeant here. And one sergeant will go with me to two different trainings, and I send them together to one.
Okay,
and then I meet the sergeant.
It's going to be well covered.
Yeah, I'll make sure it's covered. Right. I'm not. No one will have to worry about that. So that's where we're at. Any questions?
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate your time.
Yes, sir.
I don't see Andy Howell of the Alc. Anything from Public Works?
I'll cover some of that under my.
Okay. Mr. McIntosh, Community Development Planning, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. Just one thing for you in addition to the department report that went out. We had several conversations with Josh Lombard. He's our ELCD rep, Department of Land Conservation Development, in regards to getting an idea on our commercial and industrial situation here. As you can recall, we just went through an update of our housing needs analysis. Well, that gears towards residential type development, housing units, how many we're going to need in the next 20 years. The economic opportunities analysis, as part of our supplemental documents in the city, does the same thing, but gives us an idea on how much commercial and industrial land we're going to use based on a need. And I don't really have too much of an idea on what that need is. Or even the vacancies of or vacant commercial properties in the city. And if we're going to get ahead of our reestablishing our URA or whatever we're going to do when that sunsets in 2025, we've got to get a good idea with our economic opportunities analysis. So after talking with him, they have the same grant biannual processes that are available. We're going to really try to spearhead that this next year prior to August, the deadline. In the same fashion, to get on that grant program with them so we can get that part of it updated. So had several conversations in that regard. Also, with the URA situation, we've had several conversations with Jerry Gillum, Sutherland City Manager. This can be shared at the URA meeting as well, but just so council has an idea. The city of Sutherland just got done last year adopting a new URA district. They've never had one. So it's really fresh for them. So just today, Christy Gilbert from their office forwarded a lot of information for us to glean from.
The rules have changed is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, since we've adopted.
Right. It's been 20 years.
Your Honor, if I may. Yeah, the rules haven't changed a great deal, but the process, for those of you that were part of that process originally, there's a great number of steps when you start one. Number one, you've got to contact all of the taxing agencies, and you got to get their approval before you can move forward with it, and there's just a lot of steps. So what we're doing is, and I've also contacted our contact who does our annual report for us for the URA and asked them if there are different steps if you want to just renew your URA district as opposed to starting one completely from scratch like Sutherland did. And you know, what are the different rules if we want to change the area, modify the area, all that type of stuff. So we'll be getting some information back from her at some point here in the near future that should tell us what the rules are.
You know what I don't understand on this is that we have to go to the school district, we have to go to the fire department, get their approval and everything, right?
Yeah.
But the voters in the city, nobody goes to them because they don't have to.
That's correct. It's a councilmatic function that allows the city to adopt a URA. And so what we have to do by going to the other taxing agencies is that we have to get their authorization to use part of their taxes that they receive to spend on the URA.
Yeah, I mean, citizens here, part of their taxation is on for the URA. And well, don't we have to have public hearings or anything on that? Or is it a carte blanche approval?
No, absolutely. There'll need to be public hearings on it, just like there was originally. You'll be making your decision reflecting the wants of what your citizens are asking you to do in that area. So, I mean, that's the way the system works. So.
It doesn't really affect the citizens' taxation rates, though. It's just that we're using some of the other districts' money that they would normally get, it goes into the URA. But it doesn't, the citizens themselves don't, it doesn't reflect, it doesn't change their taxation rates.
Okay, because, you know, it shows up on our income tax statement. Right.
But yep. It doesn't.
Property tax.
Property tax, yes.
Yeah.
And so if we were to dissolve ours at the end of, or sunset it at the end of its period, your taxes wouldn't change. It would just, wouldn't show any going to the URA.
Our ability to use that money on other projects would change.
Right? It would be going just directly to the other agency.
Okay.
And us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we would get an increase back as well for the general fund.
Okay.
Anything else, Mr. McIntosh?
That's all.
Any questions for Thomas? Thank you, sir. Mr. Bauer, please.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council and members of the audience. Several things I wanted to talk about. Public Works first. Had Andy contact our engineering firm today to find out where we were with the SDC work. Supposedly we should have a draft out by Wednesday, so we can start reviewing that at least from internally before we sit down and have a workshop on it to go through it with you. So and that should be true for both the park SDC and the sewer SDC work.
That the same engineer, the two different engineers did those, correct?
They're two different engineers, yes. But Andy met with one of them here today and then one on the phone. So that was the information he got back. I'd like you to know that we have a record of the most current election, and you... I'm happy to announce that you all were reelected.
Yeah, you're happy.
And the and the psilocybin thing was turned down by our voters, so as we had imagined that it would be. So that's where it is. We now have to review their numbers and then send back the form stating that we agree with it or we disagree with it.
I'm just curious, are the write-in votes listed there?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
You
so how many Mickey votes?
For mayor, we had 50 write-in votes. And for council, we had 20. For Alicia and for Dory, we had 22.
Cool. Does it list names?
No. Somebody name right in.
Bob or Larry.
That's it.
Or his cousin Daryl. Okay, thank you.
So we will be certifying this, sending it back, and then at our first meeting in January, we'll swear everybody back in.
I understand that Alicia then got over 90% on the votes. She on when they ran.
She did.
That's impressive.
Be careful what you wish for.
How about Dory?
No, I'm just telling
what
you.
What was the split?
They, Dory was 56.96 percent for Dory, and for her competition was 40.23. She's the only one. Councilor White's the only one who had anybody running against them. So,
good victory, Dory.
Yep.
Hard fought.
So,
okay.
That's that. Also, I just wanted you to know that I started last week writing job descriptions for our committee members. So I finished the park board job description and it sent it to, around to have any modifications made to it internally by Andy and Cindy primarily. Then we'll move on and eventually within the next couple of weeks we should have at least a draft, first draft for all the committee, different committee members. For participation on committees. Also, the other franchise agreement for CenturyLink or Quest, we received it back with edits. I received it back from them finally with their edits. Today I modified or accepted all their edits that were just respelling of CenturyLink to their proper method, and also then took their substantive edits and sent them to our city attorney for review to see if we're, if we will accept them as is, modified, or removed. So that's where we're at with that.
Any updates on the siphon project?
So as far as siphon goes, what we have now is we have enough, we should have enough information to our engineers to now complete the preliminary design report. So that's the next step that will be completed. Once we have that, then we'll be setting up a one-stop to start to talk about funding options as well for that project. And hopefully some of these other SDC projects that we have coming along.
To explain a little bit, One Stop is a funding group of state and federal and various agencies that you come together, you present your job or your project to them, and they determine whether you're going to be given money, borrow money, what percentage, how it's supposed to be paid back, that sort of thing. It's the only way we can afford to do anything. So, just so you understand that part of
it. Was there a second testing done of the well?
Yes, there was, and it was fine. No worries. No contamination. And that's typical to what you do when you when you take a sample. If it comes back bad, you typically resample because it very well could be a sampling error on the person taking it. So. We would guess at this point it was probably a sampling error, but yeah, the second one came back fine.
Thank you.
If I could add on that, the appraiser for the siphon project has begun their work. The original deadline was January 23rd as kind of a cutoff date, but we got a call last week. And they have started the work on it. And our engineer, their surveyors had to get some additional information over there. So they started pulling in sales comparison numbers and different things like that. So we would anticipate that the appraisal work would be done probably a lot sooner than that 23rd date. So apologize for the interruption. Just wanted to.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Bauer?
That's all, Your Honor.
Any questions for Mr. Bauer? Moving right along. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Seeing no old business, we're going to get into new business. One business application, Lumio. I think they're a company that does solar energy. Greg Butterfield, Lumio HX Inc. Looking for a motion to approve this business license.
I make a motion that we approve the business license. It didn't take by the police department, correct?
The sergeant approved it by John.
Okay. Then I make a motion that we approve the business license.
Second. Have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Just a question here. On our last meeting, I made the comment that this is rather mundane type unless there's something wrong with an applicant. Why can't the city manager or the chief of police make a determination if everything is clean on the license? Why do we need to bring it to council?
Good point.
We always done it that way.
I believe that
doesn't make it right.
Doesn't the code requirement that we...
Every year, the licenses are required to be renewed by January 1st.
Is that written in the code?
Yes.
Yes, it
municipal
is.
Municipal code?
Yes.
But does it say by who?
Okay, so they renew. If they don't renew, it says that they have to reapply.
Right, but does it
there's
say...
no check on
it. Does it say who has to approve the license? Does that have to go to council?
Yeah, I think.
We'll look that up as you move on. We'll have an answer for you.
Well, the next question is yours again, Mr. Bauer. We need to set some council workshop dates.
We will. We need to get that work, the SDC work, and then the first one will be the SDC workshop. So we can't set it tonight, but...
So we're not considering that any workshops for the rest of the month then?
That's correct.
Okay, next on the list, it's a donation request from the Winston Middle School for a Down Under 2023. You're going to take me along? I wouldn't mind going. Who'd like to speak to that? I figure that's why you're all here. You haven't set up for anything else. Is that why you're here? Really? Okay.
Are you concerned? It's okay. Come back again.
I got nothing on this then. Anybody want to talk about it?
I'd like to know more about it.
I'm in agreement. So let's go ahead and table it. Maybe somebody can come explain to us what they really want.
I think if they're really serious about it, they have somebody here.
That's what I would think.
Yes, we can speak to that grant request or the funding request. I'm sorry, I was looking at the code.
Can we wait till later till they come and tell us exactly what it is for?
Did you see the in the packet?
Yes.
No,
but do you still have more questions?
I get that, but I would think that if they're trying to get money from us, they'd be at least interested
in state when they need to
show it up.
And if, you know, if they have any questions, it may not be on the rattle.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to table that till January.
Okay, mm-hmm. We will do that.
We're bailing on Ordinance 22709. We're up to Ordinance 22-710, consent to annex the planning file number 22-W006. First reading, Ms. Mack, excuse me, Ms. Sardi, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. Ordinance number 22-710, an ordinance of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council annexing certain property identified as Tax Lot 2400 in Township 28 South Range 6 West, Section 15CB, property ID number R50439, and within the ownership of Ronald Francis and Sheila K. Bly.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Mr. McIntyre, staff report, please.
Mayor, members of the council, members of the audience, the staff report previously submitted into the record. We have nothing further to add to that staff report.
So this is first reading. Does this require a second reading?
Not necessarily based on our municipal code, but we would recommend two readings.
Okay, so I need someone to move that to make a motion to that effect, please.
Make a motion, we have a second reading.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor to move Ordinance 22-710 to a second meeting? Or second reading, excuse me. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Upcoming agenda items are the franchise agreements. Any non-agenda items from council tonight?
Your Honor, if I may, I have the answer to the earlier question.
Okay, please.
Under... Section 110.08, approval, denial, revocation, or suspension of licenses. This is under the business license section. City Council shall issue a decision on an application for a new business license within 30 days of the submission of a completed application and require fee upon the finding that the applicant has met all requirements of federal, state, and county law and this chapter. So under the code, the authority was granted to the City Council to approve that. We could amend the ordinance at your direction to change that if you so desire.
How old is the ordinance?
Looks like the last modification was in 2013. I can't tell you exactly all the sections that were changed. But,
so it doesn't mention anyone. Do you know why you're reapplying?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It does it? Okay.
Yes. So it does go in and talks about reapplication, but then, you know, if it's denied, it does cover all those things as well.
Does this present that much heartburn for you?
No, but it presents a waste of time for the council.
Yeah, but
it takes a little time.
It takes very little time.
All right.
I mean, I get your point, but at the same time, I don't think we need to approve reapplicants, but I think we need to approve the first time.
All right.
That work?
Yeah.
That work for you, Mr. Bauer?
Yeah, I mean, it appears that it puts all that approval process is vested in the council.
Okay. So let's maybe seek changing the ordinance to just approval by the council for the first go around, and after that, it just kind of runs over automatically.
Yeah, that's a good compromise.
We don't actually ever do a reapply.
I don't see where we do.
I don't think we ever.
I think we do a reapply. It needs to be something.
It's the ones that don't pay when they're supposed to pay, and then
they
have to reapply. Yeah, or if the business has sold.
That
basically the ones that are going to people's homes to do work, things like, you know, food trucks.
Okay,
they don't.
Thank you. We'll work on that then. Any non-agenda items from council?
I had a couple of things, Scott.
Alicia, kick it off.
I was curious if anyone knew about the parade that happened this weekend, because I heard there wasn't a very good turnout, so I didn't know who was in charge of that.
That's the festival committee.
Okay.
Same group who's responsible for the Melon Festival. So
okay.
You might recall last time that he was in the council chambers, he did bring it up, but we never saw any advertising of anything on it. Mm-hmm. So.
So and along those lines, I did manage to attend the Christmas tree lighting. I did get a little bit of heartburn because of the Roseburg Indian sweatshirt. But we'll see where that goes from here. Anyway, it was a good time. There was not much in the way of a parade. I think like four floats, a fire truck, and one of the churches had a float. So I think it's probably something that...
Just maybe some more advertising or something.
Yeah, I think so.
He said he had a couple of things.
For Veterans Day, there was no flags in the city. And I just think that that is very important. And I realize that the VFW, right, Scott?
Well, it was VFW, the Boy Scouts. I did get a call from Frank Evans that day that he had... some major heartburn over the deal, and I get it. Part of the problem was, in an attempt to answer your question, I guess the Boy Scouts have been collecting cans and money trying to get more flags. I thought we had plenty of flags. I didn't hear any different. We have another day coming up, 7th, and I think we need to make sure that that happens. So who do we contact, Mr. Bauer?
We've already spoken with them, and...
Yeah.
One of the reasons that they gave us was it was supposed to rain, and they don't put the flags out in the rain because it ruins them. So, the other reason was that their Boy Scout group was tied up in Roseburg for the event that was going on in Roseburg, which
the parade.
A little bit, yeah. That we were so. That's what. Those are the reasons we were given as to why they didn't do it. So we did express very strongly that they needed to be put up, and we will be making sure that we dial in with them the day before, a couple of days before, to make sure that they are in task to do that.
Just a general point of interest, that if you fly the American flag after dark, the United States Code clearly states that it has to be lit.
Right.
Correct.
If not, it has to be taken down. And so, therefore, if you do not take it down, you're in violation of federal law.
Correct.
Are you the new federal flag cop?
Only.
Which might not be a bad role for you to play. I'm just asking the question.
Only if it's a McDonald's flag.
Okay, I see.
Well, we could just put flags near streetlights. How about that?
Right. It has to be on the flag. Yeah.
Oh, it has to be on right. the flag. Okay.
That's why if you go past our community park at night, they have a light on that.
Right. All the flags that you see flown at night either have a light at the base of them or at the top of them illuminating the flag.
But a lot of people just honestly just don't know that. They just leave it out 24/7, even in the rain.
Count of the wind and ride my flag. Any other non-agenda items from council? I was going to say, at the Christmas tree lighting, there was some questions as to why the city didn't have a Christmas card thing up there and why the Chamber of Commerce did. Anyway.
Can't answer that question for you. I'm sure that card's several years old and it's just been kept along with the rest of them that they've
speculation.
Kept.
Perfect. Anything else from council? Good of the order. Check copies were in our packet. Claims in excess of $500. Announcements. Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th. Fly your flag. By the way, thank you for bringing that up, Alicia. Economic Development, December 14th, noon at City Hall. No Park Board meeting in December or January. December 15th at 3. URA, is, if that's not... I don't think we're not going to do that because that is the day of the city's luncheon for the employees, and we might have food hangovers because I plan on eating that day. December 15th at 6 p.m., Oktoberfest committee here in City Hall. And Winston offices will be closed Monday, December 26th for the Christmas holiday weekend. Mr. Bauer, executive session?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. I call this meeting adjourned. Did you guys just come for the entertainment, or did you have a mission?
I did.
You came for the entertainment?
It's a learning experience.
Ah.
Come back again.
Hope you managed it now.
City Council meeting adjourned at 8:02.
That's right.